Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, welcome to the show. Even with all the evidence now being brought out, the January 6th so-called incursion never happened. And it was nothing more than a tour that was led by the Capitol Police. The left still continues with their insanity, that it was the worst thing to happen since Pearl Harbor and other things. Headlines like DEA agent charged with January 6th incursion says FBI informant urged him to break into the Capitol with the mob is one of those things that's completely throwing the left off of their game. But they don't care. They keep pushing that it was the worst thing that's ever happened. It just blows me away. Even when Trump issues a damning statement about justice for the January 6th rally, patriots don't go, the left still pushes the misinformation that it was a horrible thing to happen and it was all Trump's fault. And yes, I use the left's word misinformation because that is what it is here. Complete lies and fabrications to make the American people get mad and vote Democrat. There can be no other reason for these lies. They will tell them with impunity because they will tell the lie, but never give the proof, never give the proof of it. They'll just say, well, this happened, and never give any proof about it, and they expect people to believe them. Yet it is the left that always claims the right is involved in the misinformation, even though the proof is there that it is all owned by the left and no one else. Folks, this thing was planned, but not by Trump. This has been shown to have been planned by the liberal members of Congress and others like Schiff, and all those names that are now famous for their part in this sham of a reporting gig, that has most Americans believing that it was Trump who started this, Trump who planned this, and Trump who carried it off, when in fact the Capitol Police led them in, gave them a tour around the complex, even tried to open doors for them, and when the doors were locked, that led them in another direction. Even the cop who was shown seemingly running from the crowd following him, if you watch it with a discerning eye, you will see that this was a complete setup for the story to come out later with photographers recording the whole thing, but releasing only the parts that were orchestrated to make it look bad. I've been reporting on this farce that the left is actively being engaged in while they tell the news media that they are sleeping with, that it is Republicans and the GOP who are the liars. Folks, I always say to vet your candidates. But one thing I have hinted at but never said was this: vet the media. They're the biggest liars around. They are the freaking liars and are so are the leftists and the left-leaning politicians in Washington, for that matter, all over this nation. All of the taxpayer money that has been used for this, for pushing out this lying story to the American people, could have built the border wall. Not just on the southern border, folks, but around the whole freaking nation. It is like I've been saying on my daily updates, with proof showing the right is telling the truth here, the left is lying to us, and we had better start researching what the left is saying because they are working hard to destroy anyone running against them so that they on the left can stay in power forever. That's their goal. They don't want anything else. They just want to be in power. Even if they destroy the nation doing it, they want to be in power. And this nation cannot afford that. We are already the laughingstock of the world because others see what is really going on. Because other media outlets out there are telling the truth. America's mainstream lying liberal media is not. Welcome to today's show on this, the 17th day of March in the year of our Lord 2023. It's good to have you here with us as we have a great show planned.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it said that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he kills.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face. And then got mad at the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
We are back. Call in number is 646-478-5284. If you want to call in, I'm going to start this show talking about a Canadian pastor that was arrested for disrupting drag queen shows for kids. And all I can say about that guy is hallelujah. God bless you. But I found something else that was pretty darn interesting. And this was from Newsmax. And the headline is, NBC issues war crimes arrest warrant for Putin. And it came out today, sometime around 11:30, almost noon. The ICC, or the International Criminal Court, issued an arrest warrant Friday, today, for Russian President Vladimir Putin, accusing him of the war crime of illegally deporting hundreds of children from the Ukraine. The bold legal move will obligate the court's 123 member states to arrest Putin and transfer him to the Hague to the Hague for trial if he sets foot on their territory. Moscow has repeatedly denied accusations that its forces have committed atrocities during its one-year invasion of its neighbor, and the Kremlin branded the court decision as null and void. Neither Russia nor Ukraine are members of the ICC, although Kyiv granted it jurisdiction to prosecute crimes committed on its territory. The tribunal has no police force of its own and relies on member states to make arrests. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Russia found the very questions raised by the ICC outrageous and unacceptable. Asked if Putin now feared traveling to countries that recognize the ICC, Peskov said, "I have nothing to add on this subject. That's all we want to say." Of course. Stephen Rapp, U.S. Ambassador at Large for War Crimes Issues, another former war crimes issues under former President Barack Obama, said, quote, "This makes Putin a pariah. If he travels, he risks arrest. This never goes away. Russia cannot gain relief from sanctions without compliance with the warrants," unquote. Putin is the third serving president to be the target of an ICC arrest warrant under Sudan's Omar al-Bashir and Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, or after those two. Reuters reported earlier this week that the court was expected to issue warrants. Now, the next part of the story is about the deportation of children. In its first warrant for Ukraine, the ICC called for Putin's arrest on suspicion of unlawful deportation of children and unlawful transfer of people from the territory of Ukraine to the Russian Federation since February 24th of 2022. The ICC chief prosecutor, Kerim Khan, said in a statement on Friday, quote, "Hundreds of Ukrainian children have been taken from orphanages and children's homes to Russia. Many of these children, we allege, have since been given up for adoption in the Russian Federation," unquote. The alleged acts demonstrate an intention to permanently remove these children from their very own country. At the time of these deportations, the Ukrainian children were protected persons under the Fourth Geneva Convention. Khan said his office will continue looking for additional suspects and will not hesitate to submit further applications for warrants of arrest when the evidence requires us to do so. Ukraine's top prosecutor, Andriy Krostin, hailed the ICC move as a historic decision for Ukraine and the entire international law system. European Union foreign policy chief Joseph Borrell said it was just the start of holding Russia accountable for its crimes and atrocities in the Ukraine. Some Russians saw the hand of the United States in the ICC decision, although Washington, like Moscow, is not a state party. "Yankees, hands off Putin," wrote Parliament Speaker Yaroslav Volodin, a close ally of the president, on Telegram, saying the move was evidence of Western hysteria. "We regard any attacks on the president of the Russian Federation as aggression against our country," he said. The court also issued a warrant on Friday for Maria Lvova-Belova, Russia's commissioner for children's rights, on the same charges. She responded to the news with irony, according to the RIA Novosti agency, saying, quote, "It's great that the international community has appreciated the work to help children of our country. Ukraine has said more than 16,000 children have been illegally transferred to Russia or Russian-occupied territories in Ukraine. Russia has not concealed a program under which it has brought thousands of the Ukrainian children to Russia, but presents it as a humanitarian campaign to protect orphans and children abandoned in the conflict zone." The ICC's Khan opened the investigation into possible war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide in Ukraine a year ago. He highlighted during four trips to Ukraine that he was looking at alleged crimes against children and targeting of civilian infrastructure. And there's a lot of that there. You've seen that Russia has bombed apartment buildings, which apartments are not supposed to be in war zones. But in the Ukraine, they are, because Russia will bomb them. They don't care who they're bombing. They don't care who they're killing, just so long as they get what they want. And right now, they want Ukraine. What the world needs to do on this one is stand up for Ukraine. Right now, there are a couple of countries that are. But if the whole world would stand up and say, "Now, wait a minute. You're not doing the right things. You're violating the Geneva Convention. You're violating natural law for human beings," and actually put some oomph behind these accusations and let Russia know that if they don't want the whole world coming down on them, they'd better stop. I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened. But this last week, sometime during the middle of the week or earlier than that, this last week, Poland has now given MiGs to the Ukraine, which actually is kind of a good thing. I'm thinking that, you know, if the United States had done something like this and given Ukraine offensive weapons, even if the whole world came along and gave Ukraine everything it needed to fight the Russians, I don't think the Russians would stand much of a chance. They haven't been able to do too much what is going on anyway. But one of the things I was looking at is that in a speech that Trump gave this last week, he talked of how to prevent World War II and the things we would have, World War III, and the things we would have to do to prevent that. And here's Trump on that. And I agree with a lot of what he's saying here.
"We have never been closer to World War III than we are today under Joe Biden. A global conflict between nuclear armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be nuclear Armageddon. Nothing is more important than avoiding that nightmare. We will avoid it, but we need new leadership. Every day this proxy battle in Ukraine continues, we risk global war. We must be absolutely clear that our objective is to immediately have a total cessation of hostilities. All shooting has to stop. This is the central issue. We need peace without delay. In addition, there must also be a complete commitment to dismantling the entire globalist neocon establishment that is perpetually dragging us into endless wars, pretending to fight for freedom and democracy abroad, while they turn us into a third world country and a third world dictatorship right here at home. The State Department, the defense bureaucracy, the intelligence services, and all of the rest need to be completely overhauled and reconstituted to fire the deep staters and put America first. We have to put America first. Finally, we have to finish the process we began under my administration of fundamentally reevaluating NATO's purpose and NATO's mission. Our foreign policy establishment keeps trying to pull the world into conflict with a nuclear-armed Russia based on the lie that Russia represents our greatest threat. But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the abolition of our national borders. It's the failure to police our own cities. It's the destruction of the rule of law from within. It's the collapse of the nuclear family and fertility rates like nobody can believe is happening. It's the Marxists who would have us become a godless nation worshiping at the altar of race and gender and environment. And it's the globalist class that has made us totally dependent on China and other foreign countries that basically hate us. These globalists want to squander all of America's strength, blood, and treasure, chasing monsters and phantoms overseas while keeping us distracted from the havoc they're creating right here at home. These forces are doing more damage to America than Russia and China could ever have dreamed. Evicting the sick and corrupt establishment is the monumental task for the next president, and I am the only one who can do it. I'm the only one that can get the job done. I know exactly what has to be done.
You know, and on that one, you know, a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people do not like Trump. But if you would just use your minds and think about what he's saying, he's absolutely right. First off, when it comes to him knowing what to do, he did it once before. And he did it while the Democrats were fighting him at like he was the enemy of the United States. And everything that he would do, they'd throw impeachment trials at him. They would throw censorship programs at him. They would call him a warmonger. They would say that he was getting us into wars. But during the time he was president, he brokered peace in a part of the world that had been fighting for thousands of years. He actually had them signing peace treaties. And all the while they were signing these peace treaties, the Democrats were constantly saying, oh, he's going to get us into a war. He's going to get us into a war. Where are those people now? Where are those people now that we have a president who is getting us into war? Biden is about the most inept person that we have ever had in our government. And because he just happened to be in the right place at the wrong time, the Democrats said, oh, we got to nominate this guy. He's been around for 49 years. Look at all the things he has done. Yes, I looked. He hasn't done a damn thing. He tried, but none of what he did was actually good for America. That should have told everybody right there and then that this man would destroy this country. And in the 2 years he's been in office, he's done more damage to this country than Trump ever could have. Because Trump didn't. Everything that Trump did during his time in office was for the betterment of America. And one of the things that all the Democrats, including Biden, kept saying was, well, MAGA people are horrible people. What does MAGA stand for? Make America great again. What is so wrong with that? If you think that's wrong, I can tell you why you think it's wrong. You think it's wrong because you hate America. You got to find something wrong with it at all times. You can never look at what good America has done. And America has done many, many good things. When there is a disaster on the other side of the world, even if it's somebody that we do not like or doesn't like us, what do? We send aid. We help. If something bad happened to America, all these people who depend on America to help them when something goes wrong in their countries would probably sit back and laugh and say, well, it's about time they got what they deserve. America is bankrupting itself right now because our leaders have decided that instead of helping the United States by closing our borders We got to spend billions and billions of dollars helping Ukraine when that money could be used right here. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't help Ukraine, but we should also stipulate that the rest of the world needs to help too, because we can't be the world's policemen. That's what the left thinks we are. They think that we can be the world's policemen, but we're not good enough to have them praise America in any way, shape, or form. And anybody who loves America and wants to be a patriot, like me or Ted Cruz or Vincent Brown on Saturday, like Bing Fisher, who has his show on Sundays when he gets back, we're all traitors. We're all terrorists because we're not doing the right thing. We're not doing what the left wants us to do. And why? Because we are looking out for America. We want what is best for America. We want the world to look at us and say, there is the beacon for freedom and for happiness. And there is the country that will help us if we suddenly fall into problems. The problem with this whole line of thinking, folks, is that the Democrats will throw money at everything, except for where it's really needed. The money that they have spent just this year, and this year's only like 3 months old right now, but the money they have spent so far this year would have built a border wall all the way around this country. And all we're asking for is money to build the border wall at the southern border. No, they can't do that. That's too much money. It's too much money to push less than $1 billion on a border wall that's already pretty well finished. But it's not too much to send hundreds of billions of dollars to a country that doesn't even like us. Where is the logic in this? I can tell you the Democrats have none. They have no common sense. They have no logic. And they've stopped using their brains, so their brains are atrophying. Because the only thing they can think of right now is, we got to do things to make sure that Trump never gets back in there because he'll make America great again. And that we can't have. We can't allow that. Brings me back to my question. Why not? What is so bad about making this country great? It's not racist to say that. And before, let me go back here. Before Obama came in, race was not such a big issue. It really wasn't. Since Obama came in, race is everything. The left uses the race on everything that they can find, even if it has nothing to do with race. I got a couple of stories about that one later on. But this whole thing about how if you're one of these MAGA people who want to make America great again and do things to help America, then you're a terrorist. Hello, Bringing It Boy. Good to see you there. And the only terrorists that we have in this nation right now, starting from the top, sitting in the White House, and the left, who is fighting everything that the right is trying to do, or the fighting everything that people want to help America, the left is fighting every bit of that. We will be right back. We will be right back. Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with their struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. So, our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Now, who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be part of our elite Christian group and share our desire to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We assist other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to fit civilian life or had spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that can help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorsservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Join today.
Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Back. Bringing a boy in the chat room asked me how is it in the land of enchantment. Well, we still have our evil governor, and some of the things that they are doing now is just totally insane, but those are part of some of the things that I was going to talk about tonight. Pastor in Canada has been arrested for disrupting drag queen shows for kids. Now, he was arrested for stopping this, but he should have been praised, actually. An outspoken Canadian pastor has been arrested for the second time in 2 weeks at public libraries for allegedly disrupting drag queen story time events for children. I don't want to trade governors because yours is just as bad. On Wednesday, he was Pastor Derek Reimer, 36, was charged with one count of breaching a release order which prohibited the Canadian citizen from being within 200 meters of events involving the LGBTQ plus ABCDE123 community. Reimer's earlier March 2nd arrest stemmed from a February 25th incident in which three men tossed the preacher out of Seton Library for protesting a reading with royalty event conducted by the Calgary Public Library. In that outing, a group of local drag performers read to children. Now, all these drag queens and drag performers and people who are doing this to children, I can't really say what should be done to them, but it's not nice. Footage of Reimer's most recent arrest was released this week, with the pastor being handcuffed and dragged in a parking lot outside the Signal Hill Library in Calgary. According to reports, bystanders protested Reimer's treatment by the Calgary police and questioned whether he had gotten within 200 meters of the event. Reimer will reportedly remain in prison at least until Friday, the date of his next court appearance. For the March 2nd arrest, Reimer was charged with one count of causing a disturbance and one count of mischief. He also faces six counts of harassment under Calgary's bylaw governing public behavior. Well, what about these people who are indoctrinating these kids? That should be something that would be considered harassment of our children, LGBTG guppercase community. Now that is diversity. Yeah. During the COVID-19, according to LiveWire Calgary, each charge carries a maximum penalty of $10,000 and up to 6 months of imprisonment if payment cannot be made. According to LiveWire Calgary, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Reimer made headlines when he was continually arrested for keeping his Calgary church open during the shutdown. Preceding Reimer's arrest from this week, the Calgary City Council advised a bylaw and introduced a new measure covering increased protests at drag events. Well, they should be looking at this in a different way. If there's increased protests at these places, maybe these people who are doing these things are wrong. I mean, shouldn't parents and adults be able to say, hey, now, wait a minute, kids should not be subjected to this? That is something that's actually kind of starting to fall apart here in America, where people who are being arrested and knocked off of YouTube and stuff like that are being vindicated for what they were saying. And even though I've been knocked off of YouTube, I'm still off of YouTube, and I don't care. But what I got knocked off of YouTube for was saying that masks do not work. They don't. It's been proven. But the powers that be, from our evil governor to Newsom to Biden to all of these liberals in this country who seem to think, well, it doesn't matter, the mask can have a great big hole in it, but it'll still protect you. Yeah. They just don't like people going against them. And as long as people are going against them, they should start thinking about it and saying, hey, maybe we're wrong on this. But the left never considers themselves wrong, even when they know they are. Preceding Reimer's arrest from this week, the Calgary City Council revised a bylaw and introduced a new measure covering increased protests at drag events. CBC reports the modifications include the term intimidation to the current public behavior bylaw and the new safe and inclusive access bylaw prohibits protests within 100 meters of a recreation facility or a library entrance. Of course, they're trying to keep people out so that they can indoctrinate our kids with no protest. Pastor Arthur Pulaski told Fox News Digital that Reimer's arrest reveals the government's open hatred towards Christianity. Everyone who is visible, everyone in Canada who is boldly proclaiming Christianity has become an open target. Calgary was immune for a little bit from the drag queen perversion, because that's what it is. It's a sick, twisted perversion, and you can quote me on that, added Pulaski. An adult man who dresses as a woman in a sexual manner and has the urge to do that in front of little children is a pervert. End of story. Yeah, exactly. And no, I didn't say that with one on. As a matter of fact, I never wore a mask during the whole time that we here in New Mexico were mandated to wear a mask. And the church that I go to, Legacy, didn't either. And the governor didn't like that. The governor fined our church. We won. We never paid. But now she's starting to lift that ban, so that it's getting to the point now where even the medical places that where you have to go in to wear masks, you have to have a mask on. The governor is sometime this month is supposed to be getting rid of that. So to me, that means that we won all the way around. I've got another article here. This one was really great because Lori Lightfoot was always telling everybody that everybody who opposed her and her reign of terror, well, she didn't call it a reign of terror, but and her mayoralship in Chicago needed to go away because they didn't have the right to go against her. But this week, somebody did. A few American cities have seen a greater fall from grace than Chicago. Indeed, the second city has long been a gleaming beacon of American exceptionalism since being rebuilt after the Great Fire of 1871. But you wouldn't be able to tell based on the way the city has looked in recent years. Chicago has become characterized more like an Afghan war zone than an American city in those recent years. Zip codes in the most violent, with the most violence in Chicago and Philadelphia had a notable higher risk of firearm-related deaths than the U.S. military personnel who served during the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, a December 2022 study found. Now, such a harrowing statement may seem like an indictment on the city of Chicago itself, and it is. But really, Chicago's dilapidated state is an indictment of its leadership. Lori Lightfoot, the outgoing mayor of Chicago, was the nadir of that leadership and paid the price for her lack of leadership via a stunning loss in February election that saw the incumbent Chicago mayor fail to secure re-election. Instead, Paul Vallas, a former school CEO, and Brandon Johnson, a Cook County commissioner, will advance to a special April 4th runoff since neither candidate was able to secure over 50% of the vote. Lightfoot, meanwhile, garnered a meager 16.8% of the vote, according to the New York Times. Vallas secured 32.9% of the vote, nearly doubling Lightfoot's total, and Johnson got 21.6% of the votes. And then the article that I was had found asked the question, do you think that Lori Lightfoot is the worst mayor in the in America? Yeah, she probably is, but there are others. Given those vote totals and the significant facts that Johnson was a virtual unknown to Illinois politics, a clearer message could not have been sent by the voters of Chicago to Lightfoot. Well, actually, scratch that. Apparently, a much clearer message was sent at a Wednesday City Council meeting. Reporter William Kelly had said at the meeting, quote, on a weekly basis, I was going viral asking you obvious questions. And instead of answering them, you told me that crime has come down. Unquote. To be clear, crime is not down in Chicago by virtually any metric. Kelly, who ran for mayor against Lightfoot in 2018, then claimed that Lightfoot felt that his viral content was hurting her reelection campaign, so she revoked his media credentials. That should never happen in a free country. And yet Kelly's biggest pain point was not about his own revoked credentials. No, Kelly's biggest pain point was the irreparable damage that the hypocritical Lightfoot has inflicted on Chicago. He said, the people of Chicago elected you. You shut down our schools. You shut down the churches. You shut down the businesses. Kelly did offer the most backhanded of compliments to Lightfoot, though, when he said, you were the one thing I thought would never happen. As somebody who was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, I never thought in my life that I would ever see the city of Chicago brought down so low as you have managed to bring it down. Shame on you. But Kelly saved his most searing indictment for last when he said, I hope that you realize what damage you have done to the city. He said in his closing remarks, I hope that after today's city council meeting, you will pack up your suitcase and get the hell out of my city. Ouch. Get the hell out of my city? Hard to think of seven more damning words to hurl at an elected official. And yet it's the kind of verbal fury that Lightfoot has unequivocally earned with the way that she has run Chicago into the ground. Regardless of whether Vallis or Johnson ultimately supplants her, the mayor of Chicago will undoubtedly have his work cut out for him. And that one caught my attention because Mayor Lightfoot was always calling it her city. Now it's no longer her city, as she's having people tell her to get the hell out of their city. And I thought that was just one of the most awesome things I'd seen. That woman reminded me, every time they showed a picture of her, reminded me of the undead. And I don't know. It's just one of those things that just really caught my attention because of what was said. I found this article from the Pinion Post here in New Mexico. During this legislative session that they are closing up right now, there have been about six anti-gun bills that have come that have been in there and that they've wanted to push through. They passed one. And that bill essentially makes citizens of this state felons if they have a gun and they don't lock it up. But the headline on this one is many Democrat anti-gun bills likely facing death as legislature wraps up. As of Thursday, which was yesterday, New Mexico House and Senate have passed one anti-gun bill that has been sent to Democrat Governor, the evil Michelle Lujan Grisham, for signature. She will sign it, which is HB 9, which felonizes, which makes it a felony for New Mexicans who have guns who do not lock up their guns. They're doing everything that they possibly can to make sure that even if they can't get rid of your guns, you got to lock them up so you can't use them. However, other anti-gun bills are waiting for the legislature, waiting in the legislature, waiting for either the House or the Senate to take action. House Bill 44. And I got this a little bit, I printed it out just a little bit too small, so I got put on a pair of glasses so I can actually read what the heck is there. But House Senate Bill 44 is sponsored by Senator Peter Wirth, Democrat of Santa Fe, banned citizens from carrying a firearm within 100 feet of a polling place during an election, including absentee ballot drop boxes. There are no exceptions for concealed carry for it, or for having a firearm in one's car within 100 feet of that polling location. The bill has passed through the Senate, but still awaits action by the House to approve it. Probably won't happen. Senate Bill 428 by Senator Joseph Cervantes, Democrat of Dona County, which targets firearm retailers and manufacturers, is an attempt to circumvent the Federal Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act through New Mexico's Unfair Practices Act. The bill would try to make it easier to sue a firearm manufacturer or retailer in New Mexico. According to the New Mexico Shooting Sports Association, the bill would still need to advance from the House Judiciary Committee and be passed by the full House, which is unlikely. House Bill 100 and 101 by Representative Andrea Romero, Democrat of Santa Fe, have yet to advance to the full House. HB 101, which is to mandate a 14-day waiting period before a firearm purchases, has not been scheduled for even a floor vote. House Bill 100, which would make most New Mexico gun owners felons by labeling their firearms over 10-round capacities, assault weapons, has not been scheduled for House Judiciary Committee. Due to the late date, it is likely dead since it has not even passed through the House. That's a good thing. A similar bill in the Senate, SB 427 by Cervantes and Romero, has yet to pass through the full Senate. It's probably dead. Senate Bill 116 by Senator Kerry Hamblin, Democrat of Doña Ana, would mandate a person must be 21 to purchase a firearm. The bill is still stuck in Senate Judiciary Committee and is likely dead since it has not even passed through the full Senate chamber yet. Another good one. On Saturday, March 18, 2023, at 12 noon, the 2023 legislative session will end, and that's, I think that's tomorrow. I have to check here. Yep, that's tomorrow at noon, so that those bills probably will not pass because they're closing tomorrow at 12 noon. That's where the final results will show if Democrats can successfully ram through any other anti-gun bill before the clock runs out. And let me tell you, they're going to try. The Democrats in this state have decided for all of us that none of us can have guns. They can because they need protection, but we can't. And I'm really having problems with these because, you know, if they can protect themselves, then we should be able to too. And probably none of them have read the Second Amendment because they, no matter what they do, they are not doing what they should be doing. But I'm coming up on the top of the hour and going to be going into the second hour. And I have a couple of other audios that I was going to play that I'm surprised they haven't come out with one like that. You know, making it illegal to buy a gun if it's got a trigger on it. I hadn't even thought about that one. That's pretty good. Please don't tell our governor that because she'll probably take that to heart and try and push that through as the with the next session. But I had played that at the beginning of the show. Played that audio clip of Trump talking about how to avoid World War III. And I had several other clips that kind of went with that but didn't. The other clips are of Jeremy Brown, who was arrested and is now serving time in prison for supposedly taking part in this incursion and being a violent person that had to be put in prison. And One American News talked to him about this and why he went there and the reasons why he was there and the reasons why he shouldn't have been, you know, because he's pretty much a patriot, but that's probably why he's in prison right now, because the left wants to get rid of all of us. Which makes me kind of glad that this show doesn't have a huge listenership right now, because that means that even though I've tried to announce my being here to the governor by sending her all kinds of stuff that should let them know that there are people out here that do not agree with them, she probably never got them, because she has a staff that says, okay, this is from a conservative, throw it in the trash. This is from a liberal. Let's let the governor see that one. But I'll bet if I called her and or tried to get a hold of her or sent her a thing saying that your next gun law should ban all guns that have triggers, she would probably do it. That is something that I will not do, because that woman is already getting away with too much crap. But like I said, we're coming up on the top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and start my break for that right now, because I'm like only about a minute and a half away from that anyway. So we will be right back to start the second hour.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Conservative Nation Media, or CNM, is looking to bring in new shows so we can reach more people. We report the truth, not the spin of the liberal mainstream media. We worry because laws are not being enforced, and if you tell the truth, you could lose everything. You can't even walk in once safe neighborhoods. You are likely to get killed doing that. Right now, we have two shows, NWCR Radio and Black by Color Only. American by Design is on hiatus. We believe in God, law and order, and the Constitution. We believe our borders must be closed to illegals, and there are only two sexes, and we honor our veterans and our boys in blue, too. If you like expressing the truth and love for America, send us an email to Conservative Nation Media, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Tell us your show ideas, and we will get back with you. We are Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. Join us today.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Henners, a Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back. I started to talk about this a little bit earlier, but One American News did a interview talking about what had happened with Jeremy Brown. He's the guy who has been thrown in prison for being a part of that god-awful incursion that happened that was the worst thing that's ever happened to the United States. But here's what they said.
Joining us now from his cell in a jail in Florida as he awaits sentencing. I believe wrongfully accused January 6th attendee, Jeremy Brown. Jeremy, it's Dan Ball. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, and thank you for having me, sir.
Well, Jeremy, thanks for doing this interview. Gosh, I hate beginning with that stupid reporter question, how are you doing? But obviously in this type of situation where you've been incarcerated for months upon months, without what I believe is your fair day in court and all the evidence being presented, how are you doing? How are you being treated? Because we've seen how some of the defendants are being treated up in that D.C. jail. How are you doing in Florida?
Well, the treatment here in the Pinellas County Resort for Threats to Democracy is considerably better than in D.C., but I would say that I'm doing exactly what the American taxpayers trained me to do, which is support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And so considering recently I was moved to a much lower area of the jail after the citizens of this country got together and said that I should not have been held in maximum security for 16-plus months, I'm actually in a much better environment and able to speak as much as people are willing to listen.
I mean, Jeremy, you did years and years of service to your country. I was reading your bio, 10 different countries, I don't know how many different conflicts, several combat tours, a couple Bronze Stars. I mean, brother, you gave it all to this country without the ultimate sacrifice. You gave a hell of a lot. And when someone like yourself gets treated the way you've been treated, as a non-combat vet, but a vet, it really irks me to no end. And so can I go back to the beginning and just ask you about January 6th? I know probably there's certain things your attorney says you can and can't discuss, but I'd like to know what led you there that day, and then talk a little bit about your experience on the Hill that day, because I've seen video of you actually coming to the aid of people that were getting trampled and beat up in the stampede. We'll get to that in a minute. So tell me what you can about what led up to that day and you being present.
Okay. He was being asked some pretty good questions, but his answer, for all of you people out there who have just listened to the brainwashing of the lamestream lying liberal media, thinks this guy is completely guilty. And with the stuff that's coming out now, like the next article I want to talk about, the headline on is Polite Insurrectionists. New body cam video destroys Democrats' J6 narrative, and so does what this man has to say.
Well, that's correct, and there's nothing that I won't say because some attorney tells me not to. My mission here in this jail is to expose the truth, and so my story actually begins before January 6th. The reason why the FBI knows who I am is because agents from the Department of Homeland Security on December 9th of 2020, which is 10 days prior to January 6th ever being tweeted about by the former President Trump, they approached me and attempted to gauge my interest on whether or not I would be interested in spying on American citizens who have committed no crimes. And so the idea that the FBI investigated me after January 6th is part of their false narrative. They knew exactly who I was. In fact, the same agents called me on the morning of January 6th, called me on the evening of January 6th, late in the evening, actually it was the 7th by then, and then pretended as if I didn't exist, much like they did with Ray Epps, until it could no longer be ignored that I was blowing the whistle, because, see, I recorded that meeting in December, and everyone in America can listen to it and judge for yourself. So that's really the basis of my interactions with the FBI, and that's what led to my unlawful arrest almost 10 months after the crime on two counts of misdemeanor trespassing, but then there was the search.
Wait, whoa, Jeremy, you just throw so much out there. I got to back you up just one quick sec. So you're saying agents with Homeland Security, different department, but still all the same corrupt Biden regime, they came to your home, they approached you about becoming an informant days before January 6th. You said December 9th. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, that's correct. And that recording is the real reason why I was arrested, because on March 5th of 2021, I went public in a two-hour-long interview, which you can find at my legal defense website and listen to yourself, and we break down the recording line by line. It was about a 20-minute interaction between two Department of Homeland Security agents on behalf of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. And within 38 seconds of the meeting, just during introductions, they introduced themselves as being with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. I said, I'm familiar with the task force. I've worked with them in the past. And their response was, well, you may be working with them again in the future. We'll see how this goes. And right then and there, I knew exactly what the entire meeting, based on a false predicate, was all about.
Wow. So let me just paraphrase here then. You didn't do their bidding. You went to January 6th to express your freedom of speech in your questioning of the election. You went, I would assume, to express and use your freedom to assemble, a God-given constitutionally protected right. And then days later, your home's raided, you're arrested, and you're charged with these bogus claims, which you then go back to claim it's all because you turned down their offer to be an informant.
It would appear that way. But see, I didn't actually even go there to engage in the First Amendment protected aspect of January 6th. I went there to provide protection for other Americans that were going there to engage in their First Amendment protected speech. And so the oath keepers who have been the patsies in this entire farce and false narrative are actually the real heroes here, because they were there to provide protection for the organizers and the speakers. In fact, our protectee, I believe, was the mother of one of the speakers that was supposed to be speaking at the Capitol in a permitted First Amendment event. Now, these permits, of course, you haven't seen them as the American public, because the DOJ has kept them as part of their highly sensitive discovery.
Sure.
But see, there were permits for stages on the Capitol grounds that day.
Yeah.
Yep, and that was it. That I saw that, and I thought, none of us are safe anymore. If we do anything, if the government decide to come to me and say they want me to spy on somebody, even though I wouldn't know anything about what was going on, I'd say no. He said no, and he's in prison now. So you see how that works with the liberal establishment? But the article that I was looking at is Trump supporters shown in photos thanking cops for escorting them out of the Senate chamber. And in the newly released police body cam footage from January 6th shows Trump supporters obeying cops, leading them out of the Senate chamber, with some even thanking the police, further eviscerating the Democrats' deadly insurrection January 6th narrative. And I've been saying this all along. This was not an insurrection. I mean, if you'd have watched the videos that they had out there, even before this stuff was even brought out, you could see cops motioning them in, bringing them in, leading them through the whole place. The footage came to light due to the sentencing trial of Jacob Chansley, the infamous horned January 6th protester dubbed the QAnon Shaman by the media. And, of course, they dubbed him that so that the people would think, oh, he has to be a bad person. He's got this helmet on, and he looks so vicious. But Chansley is shown in the video thanking the police officers who are clearing ralliers out of the Senate chamber in the U.S. Capitol building. The video shared on Twitter by D. Scott hit social media on Tuesday, and conservatives responded with outrage, with many saying the liberal J6 narrative is collapsing before their eyes. D. Scott's March 4th tweet reads, quote, newly released video footage captured by body-worn police cameras has shown a new perspective of the clearing of the Senate chamber from January 6th. The footage was presented as evidence during Jacob Chansley's sentencing hearing and was finally made public today. It was presented during his hearing, folks, and they didn't show it. So the jury never saw it before they convicted him. The judge never saw it before he handed down the sentence. The people in the court never saw it. All they heard and all they saw there was the left's idea that this man was dangerous and he needed to be put away. The video begins with an officer yelling, time to go, to the people mulling around the Senate chamber. Let's go, says another officer. In the video, people can be heard saying thank you to the officers. One man says, Roger that, to the officer, telling people it's time to exit the room. God is glorious, says another man, as he is walking towards the door. With him saying that, I'm surprised he's not in prison. God is glorious. It smells like an old church. A man walking with the police down the stairs after leaving the chamber chants freedom as the video comes to an end. Chansley himself is shown in the footage saying to the officers as he approached the door, thank you for your patience. We really appreciate it. It was Fox News' Tucker Carlson's airing of previously unseen January 6th footage of a cooperative Chansley being led around inside the Capitol by the police that engendered the new wave of outrage and skepticism among conservatives towards the Democrat-run January 6th committee and insurrection narrative if attempted to sell the public in part through cherry-picked videos. Well, none of them saw this either. And I would wager that Liz Cheney didn't either. She just wanted to make it known that she thinks this is the worst thing that ever happened. Actually, she's the worst thing that ever happened. But Carlson called that carefully crafted J6 narrative probably second only to the 2020 election as the biggest scam in my lifetime. On November 21st, Chansley was sentenced to 41 months in prison for his role in the January 6th event, CNN reported. They said the Justice Department has asked for Chansley to receive a harsh sentence as a way to set an example among January 6th rioters, and prosecutors have positioned Chansley as an emblematic of a barbaric crowd. I'm sorry, I had to laugh at that one. That I've seen these videos. They're walking around peacefully. And then that one place where they've been showing this police officer who was running up the stairs like, oh my gosh, I got to get away from these people. And these people are just kind of walking in behind him. He's running up the stairs and he stops, picks up a stick, and stops and starts saying something. What a lot of people didn't notice, though, was that in this video, back in the background, was a person filming the whole thing. And my idea on this is that this was something that they wanted to do. The left wanted to do this so that they could use this as something that they could push later on, which they did. Boy talks about, you know, what happened to the plane that crashed in the woods in Pittsburgh, that happened to the plane, the same thing that, what happened to the plane that crashed in the woods in Pittsburgh, what happened to the plane that crashed in the Pentagon, and what really happened to the building. Yet we see video of 2016 of 0106, and we are told that it was violence. Where was the real violence? And those are questions that I'm asking. Where was the violence? I can tell you where the violence was. A Capitol policeman shooting Ashley Babbitt when she wasn't even a threat to this man. And then I did a whole half a show on him and all the things that he has done wrong. He has been a bad policeman from the word go. And guess who got away with killing a woman? That policeman. But Chensley and his lawyers were not provided in a timely manner the more innocent J6 surveillance footings now coming to light, in part due to Republicans winning control of the House of Representatives. At least that's what they say. Conservative New York Post columnist Miranda Devine castigated the Democrats and Never Trump Republicans for their cover-up of the January 6th reality, writing March 8th after Carlson's blockbuster video release, saying, "For more than 2 years, while they controlled every lever of power in Washington, the Democratic Party and their media allies told a one-sided story about what happened at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. For more than 2 years, the surveillance video footage from the 2021 Capitol riot aired this week by Tucker Carlson was kept from the American public by a Democratic Congress, so a false narrative became cemented in the public consciousness. For more than 2 years, footage that could have exonerated January 6th defendants was kept from their local legal teams. People are in prison because of that cover-up." And that those audio clips that I had of Jeremy Brown, he's in prison. He's in prison because of that January 6th thing. But there was a whole bunch of people who tweeted on that one. One of them, Ty, says, "God bless you, officers. Thank you for your patience." Yep, sounds like a classic insurrection to me. Another one, Chris Rowe, says, "Well, I, for one, in shock about the raw violence of these images. It's amazing that any of these policemen survived the onslaught of insurrectionists asking for God's blessing upon them." Allie Garcia said, "Body cam footage shows January 6th inside the Capitol. Everyone is peaceful, following police orders, and friendly and complimentary of the police. The communists will never report this, so we need to spread it far and wide," which is why I like talking about this. Funny Man said, "This is just as bad as anything Russia does to political dissidents." Jacqueline Kahn said, "How many BLM protesters who looted and burned down buildings in honor of George Floyd were arrested and are still in prison? The PD, the police department, escorts them in, then back out? Am I missing something?" Admiral Quality says, "Tour's over, folks. Now proceed directly to..." And Lori Deers says, "That's entrapment to be used to frame January 6th protesters. The January 6th committee lied about everything." A recent Rasmussen Reports poll shows a majority of likely voters polled believe the FBI helped instigate the January 6th riots, as WND reported. Furthermore, WND reported last month that newly surfaced January 6th video footage shows D.C. police firing stun grenades into a crowd of peaceful pro-Trump protesters, raising the specter that police brutality and reckless provocative actions by incompetent officers enraged the crowd and led people to rush past them into the Capitol. Well, I don't know about that, because I have seen these videos of the police opening up the barriers and saying, come on in. This was not an insurrection, folks. I don't care what the left says. I don't care what the police who are on the left side says. It was not an insurrection. Now, at the beginning of the show, I did that clip of Donald Trump talking about how we need to stop shooting. I'll play it again.
We have never been closer to World War III than we are today under Joe Biden. A global conflict between nuclear-armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be nuclear Armageddon. Nothing is more important than avoiding that nightmare. We will avoid it, but we need new leadership. Every day this proxy battle in Ukraine continues, we risk global war. We must be absolutely clear that our objective is to immediately have a total cessation of hostilities. All shooting has to stop. This is the central issue. We need peace without delay. In addition, there must also be a complete commitment to dismantle the entire globalist neocon establishment that is perpetually dragging us into endless wars, pretending to fight for freedom and democracy abroad, while they turn us into a third world country and a third world dictatorship right here at home.
Now, this is former President Donald Trump, and this was said on Thursday. Peace without delay is needed in Ukraine. Additionally, calling for a completely overhauled Pentagon and for the Biden administration to prioritize U.S. relations with world powers. Now, anything that Biden and that administration does is not going to help America. He is such a, I hate calling him a moron when he is, but he does not care for America. He does not care for the things that need to be done to keep this country safe. One of their very few things that government really should be doing is keeping Americans safe. Well, they're not doing that. As a matter of fact, they've actually gone as far as to declare war on Americans. And there are so many of us out here who just blithely go and read things like the New York Times or the Albuquerque Journal or the Sacramento Bee or whatever. They will read these newspapers that will follow right along with the in the footsteps of what the liberals are doing and report that what they're doing as great for America. The problem with all of that is that it's not great for America. And our I forgot to play my intro for, no, I guess I didn't. I played that. The things that are that were being done by Trump and by people like Ted Cruz and Jim Jordan and all of these, the left will come out against them every which way that they can. They will make up a lie, never supply proof with this. It's always like, they did this, and we're supposed to take them at their word for it. Maybe because they've never lied to us before? I don't get that one, because every time they open their mouths, they're lying to us. Or Jean-Pierre is constantly telling us that the border is secure. Biden is telling us that the border is secure. Hell, he went down to the border this last, not too long ago. And before he got there, his people went in and cleaned it all out, so it looked, they sanitized it so that he could walk around and say, oh yeah, there's nothing going on here. And the media lapped it up like lapdogs and just followed right along with it, knowing that as soon as the president was gone, everything was going to move right back in and it was going to get just as bad as it was before. He lied to us. And the Border Patrol chief of DHS doesn't have, has shown us, and this one I found in WND News Services, that DHS doesn't have operational control of the southern border. Biden says they do. Karine Jean-Pierre says they do. The Border Patrol chief says they don't. And a Republican congressman says of Mayorkas, it's either ignorance or it's lying. Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz testified Wednesday that the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, lacks operational control of the U.S.-Mexico border during a Homeland Security Committee field hearing. Republican Committee Chair Mark Green asked Ortiz if DHS had operational control amid an influx of illegal migrants, and I don't call them that, they're invaders. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, encountered more than 2.3 million invaders in the fiscal year of 2022, and more than 270,000 between October and January. Does DHS have operational control of our entire border? Green asked, to which Ortiz responded, no, sir. Now, who would know better if we had operational control of the border? The president who lives at the White House, or Border Patrol agent, or the person in charge down there who is always on the border? Which one would know better? I would say Ortiz does. Green then played a clip of DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas testifying that the department has operational control over the southern border. Then he asked, Chief Ortiz, do you think that Secretary Mayorkas is lying there? Ortiz responded, quote, sir, when you talk about operational control, about 10 years ago, we used operational control as a measuring stick of our effectiveness along the southwest border. My new strategy is geared toward mission advantage. Green continued to press Ortiz on whether he found Mayorkas to be lying in his statement, but the border chief dodged that question. I wouldn't have. I'd have said yes. But he says, I didn't see the rest of the testimony there, sir, Ortiz says. Green said, it's either ignorance or it's lying, Green said, adding that there has been 1.3 million illegal migrants known to evade federal southern border authorities. I live down here, folks. I know what's happening. What difference does it make anyway? yeah. But I live down here. I see this happening. Even here in Albuquerque, which is like about not quite 300 miles from the border, we have homeless all over the city. Because the governor, the governor wants everybody to come in. Our mayor has decided that, oh yeah, it'd be wrong to tell these people they can't live on the street. They've got to have a place to live. We've got neighborhoods in this city now that are too dangerous to even think about walking around in. Because if you walked around in them, especially at nighttime, you may get killed. We will be right back.
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. In the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company is hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with I in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. Calling number is 646-478-5284. I was looking in the Daily Caller News Foundation. They had this article about North Korea wanting to strike fear with the newest missile launch. Even though the action was a clear violation of multiple national United Nations Security Council resolutions, North Korea claimed Friday that its Thursday intercontinental ballistic missile test was meant to strike fear into the enemies, according to the Associated Press. North Korea's ICBM test was meant to put South Korea, Japan, and the U.S. on notice, according to the AP. The strike was launched just before the South Korean-Japanese Tokyo summit, meant to reestablish good relations and ongoing U.S.-South Korea joint military drills in the peninsula. Japanese and South Korean assessments show the missile flew about 620 miles with a maximum altitude of 3,730 miles before landing between Korean and Japanese waters on a 70-minute flight, according to the AP. The United States condemns the DPRK's ballistic missile launch. This launch is a clear violation of multiple United Nations Security Council resolutions and demonstrates the threat that DPRK's unlawful weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs pose to the
DPRK's neighbors, the region, international peace and security, and the global non-proliferation regime. Now, this was said by the State Department spokesperson Ned Price, who, when he told that to the Daily Caller News Foundation. The things that are going on here are going totally against our Constitution, our laws. The Democrats don't care. They don't care about what is right, just so long as their ideals are pushed. And when somebody goes against them, then that just means that you're fair game for them. I have been working on trying to get more shows on CNM. I have actually 4 shows now. 2 of them are not doing anything right at the moment. One of the things that I try to pride myself on is no matter what the media says or what the president says or what Karine Jean-Pierre says, I want to vet things. I want to find out what is really true, what is not true, what is going on that isn't true, that it should not happen, and what is not happening should. And when you got things that should be happening but are not, eventually it's going to come out. And that's one of the reasons why I talked about the January 6th thing, because that's really starting to come out. The problem lies in the fact that we've got people who are in prison for what happened that day. When the new video that came out this week actually kind of showed that they weren't doing anything wrong. They weren't a riotous mob that was breaking in and doing everything that they could to make, to damage the Capitol. They were let in by the police. And when they get to a door that was closed to let them in, and if it was locked, he'd just point them off in a different direction, saying, door's locked, let's go this way. And even with this coming out now, the Democrats are still pushing this narrative that it was the most violent thing that has ever happened in the United States. All these people should be in prison because they were violent and so extremist. No, they weren't. Proof of it is these videos. And with everybody nowadays having a cell phone with cameras, you have to really be careful about what you're lying about, because if you're not, soon it's going to come out. The truth is going to come out. There are too many people out here with cameras now. There are too many people who have a camera in their pocket. See something going on? Pull that thing out and start filming. Sometimes to the detriment of the people who are being harassed. Because people don't help anymore. They just film. One of the best examples of that was that guy that broke up that McDonald's a month ago. One person filming it, and in the whole thing where he was breaking up glass and everything else inside that restaurant, and then even when he took that one guy and knocked him down, you could see people pulling out their phones to film it. And with this many people out there who actually become citizen journalists because they have the means to do so, it's going to come out. And the lies have to stop. They have to stop. And people have to start realizing that this nation is the greatest nation this world has ever seen. Sure, we've got problems. Sure, there are things that we have done in the past that were not right. And when we were able to, we corrected those things. Big one. They're saying, oh, we got to pay reparations to these guys. Really? The thing that's not being brought up on that one is the fact that at the time, the world slavery. Blacks in Africa enslaved blacks. Nothing's ever said about that one. Blacks enslaved whites. Nothing's ever said about that one. Whites enslaved whites in Europe. Nothing's ever said about that one. The only thing you hear about is how America had slavery. Oh my God, that's so horrible. It was bad. Granted. But who fixed it? Who got rid of it? Who made law to make sure that it was not legal to own a slave? America did. Slavery did not last that long. And who is being castigated for it? It's not the countries that are still doing it. It's not the blacks who were enslaving blacks. It was not the blacks who were enslaving whites. It was not the whites who were enslaving whites. No, it was America. Because we had slavery. The ideas, folks, that we don't realize what is good for us, or the things that America has done that is good, pushes right back to the whole thing about the media. The left says that, and the media does too, says that they have the right to do the things they're doing. I agree, they do. But the thing they're not taking into account here is that, sure, you have the right to do anything you want. But there are always consequences that go with what you're doing. The trouble is, the left has gotten rid of those consequences for the people doing the things that are wrong. Unless they're conservative. If they're conservative, then they deserve everything that the law can throw at them. But when it came to, like, George Floyd, the only thing you hear from the media is how bad Derek Chauvin was for putting his knee on the back of his neck. Most people don't even realize that he was a criminal, that he was always doing wrong things, that he was actually in the police car. And he was getting violent in that police car, trying to break and everything. So they got him out, tried to calm him down, but he wouldn't calm down. Nobody seems to know that this is what was going on. Everybody looks at it with the lens of seeing things from the future where you can look back and say, oh, he did it wrong there. But nobody stops to think that in the moment it was probably wrong, but he was doing it not to be evil. He was doing it not to kill this man, but to subdue him. And during the whole time he had his knee on this guy's neck, the guy was struggling. The guy was fighting him. That's not part of the whole thing. That's not part of it. He did the wrong thing. He's in prison now. You're going to do something in this country nowadays for the country. You better watch out. Because the government will come after you. I'm surprised they haven't come after Reverend Graham. He said about DeSantis' drag show ban. He doesn't mess around. Reverend Franklin Graham, leader of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association when it comes to preventing children from being exposed to drag shows. He's invoking the liquor license. He's revoking the liquor license at a major Miami hotel because of the drag queen show with children present, even after being warned, Graham said Thursday at a Facebook post. The governor's office stated sexually explicit content is not appropriate to display to children and so violates Florida law. Violates most laws in this country, folks. But it's sad when we have one governor who does something about it and the media comes down on him for being wrong. Graham said, it's so refreshing to see a leader who's willing to stand up for what is right. May God bless and help him as he leads this state. Earlier this week, Florida's Voice reported that the Hyatt Regency's Miami's license for the sale and consumption of alcohol is being revoked by the DeSantis administration after the James L. Knight Center, which reportedly connected to the hotel, hosted a sexually explicit show with children present. A Drag Queen Christmas is a holiday-themed drag show that tours 36 cities and features stars from the reality show RuPaul's Drag Race. It was performed at the center on December 27th. Florida's Department of Business and Professional Regulation filed a 17-page complaint against the show's venue Tuesday, which alleges minors younger than 60 years of age were at the show and exposed to sexually aggressive clothing and prosthetic female genitalia. Would you want your kids to have this happen to them? Excuse me. I know I wouldn't. I'd ban it too, which would probably make the whole media establishment in this country come after me for saying things like that. That's too bad, because they're wrong when it comes to what they say. The show required that people under 18 be accompanied by an adult in order to attend. In a letter dated the same day as the show's opening, the department warned organizers to change how they marketed the show. The letter stated that sexually explicit drag performances do public nuisances, lewd activity, and disorderly conduct when minors are present and warned that the venue was in danger of losing its alcohol license. Beth Pannell, a department spokeswoman, told Insider that Hyatt Regency Miami is permitted to continue selling alcohol until a final decision is made and that the business has 21 days to request a hearing. Amir Blattner, the general manager for Hyatt Regency Miami, told Insider that a third-party operator manages the Knight Center's programming and ticketing while the hotel provides concessions. To me, DeSantis is right on that, because that kind of thing should not be shown to kids. I don't care if they're with a parent. Kids have other things on their minds. They don't think of drag queens dancing in prosthetics that are hugely out of proportion. They don't think of sex. They don't think of other things when they're young. They think of going out and playing. They think of playing football or hide and seek, something like that. And the left is destroying that part of childhood. Because to them, childhood has to include sexual stuff, has to include all of that. But I'll wager that any of them, AOC, Harris, Biden, any of them, Waters in California, Newsom in California, Grisham here in Mexico, I'll guarantee you they would not allow their children to be indoctrinated into something like that. But they want all of ours to be. It's really a sad, sad state of affairs when it comes to that. I was looking at a book that is about the 50 speeches made throughout our history that were great. And the one I found was Abraham Lincoln, who had a habit of working through nights, through thoughts and ideas, by writing them down in notes, some of which he would later use in public speeches and addresses. This fragment was written after Lincoln's election as president, but before he had officially taken office, and just several states had seceded or declared their intention to secede from the Union in opposition to his election. In preparation for the extreme challenges that lay before him, Lincoln reflected on the nature and purpose of the Constitution and the Union and the fundamental principles informing them why they're worth preserving. Today we have a whole government on the left that has decided for us it's not worth preserving. But Lincoln said it is not a result of accident. It has a philosophical cost. The Constitution and the Union, we would not have attained the result, but even these are not the primary cause of real prosperity. There is something back of these and entwining itself more closely about the human heart. That something is the principle of liberty to all. The principle that clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. The expression that our principle in our Declaration of Independence was most happy and fortunate. Without this, as well as with it, we could have declared our independence of Great Britain, but without it, we could not, I think, have secured our free government and consequent prosperity. No oppressed people will fight and endure as our fathers did without the promise of something better than a mere change of masters. The assertion that the principle at the time was the word fitly spoken, which was proved as an apple of gold to us. The Union and the Constitution are the pitcher of silver subsequently framed around it. The pitcher was made not to conceal or destroy the apple, but to adorn and preserve it. Made for the apple, not the apple for the pitcher. So let us act that neither pitcher nor apple shall be blurred or bruised or broken, that we may so act, we must study and understand the points of danger. What is going on today, folks, is that apple is being bruised, that apple is being destroyed. Our nation has to be fought for. Because once it's gone, once our freedoms are gone, The only way to get them back is to fight them in a bloody revolution. The government knows this. The government is well armed. And the people know this. But the one thing that the government has been trying to do, and they're doing it here in New Mexico, like I was saying earlier, they had like 7 bills that were there specifically to take the guns away from the people. And the one that actually passed makes every one of us sell them if we have guns and lock them up. So with a law like that, if you keep your guns locked up and you decide, well, today I'm going to go out, I've got to get my gun out of its locked up place, take it out, go hunting. What would happen if suddenly one of Michelle Lujan Grisham's goons come along, sees you holding this rifle? It's not locked up. You're now a felon. My show will end in a couple of minutes for everybody who's not on the phone, so I thank you all for coming in. I'm going to continue for a while because there are several things I need to talk about, including the January 6th thing. But these laws that they're trying to pass on all of us do not set up the idea that if you have your gun out for a reason, that suddenly you can have it out for, like, taking it out to clean it. It's not locked up. Police can come in. If your gun's not locked up, they're cleaning it. And they bust in, you have your gun on your lap, you're cleaning it, and it's not locked up, they'll haul you off to jail. You just broke a law. You're now a felon. And you're a felon for nothing more than having your gun unlocked, in your lap, cleaning it. This, my friends, is something that we have to start looking at. We have to start realizing I am typing here into the chat room, and I got 3 people in there. The left, like in states like in New Mexico, decide that because they deem it that they can now make you a criminal, even if you're totally law-abiding, even if you've done nothing wrong, now all you have to do is take your gun out of the locked case that it has to be kept in now, take it out. As soon as it comes out of that locked case, you're breaking the law. Even if you're going to go out hunting. There's no stipulations in there, folks. All it says is that you're now a felon because you have a gun that is not locked up. The other ones they tried to pass kind of surprised me that they didn't, because as of noon tomorrow, the session's over. And if they haven't even put some of these things through the Senate or the House yet to pass this, they're going to die on the vine right there. Thank God. It's the one thing that we can thank ourselves, thank our Heavenly Father for on these things is that the Democrats do not handle time well. All of this stuff to be going on. They want all of this stuff to be happening. But they don't manage their time well. When they run out of time, their bills die. If they haven't been passed. Now, sooner or later, they're going to figure out that this is happening. And they're going to try and pass a law that says if it's not passed during this legislative session, when it closes, the bill doesn't die. It just becomes something they can talk about with the next session. They haven't thought about that yet because what is going on is when the bill dies, when the next session starts, another Democrat will come along or this one that wrote this bill will come along and rewrite it, push it on the House again, see if they can get it passed into law. That's where the Democrats have it over the Republicans. The Republicans have always been the type that if the session is over, then go home. They can live their lives, be with their families, enjoy their freedoms that they still have, and look forward to the time that they get to spend with their families. Liberals don't do that. When the session ends and their bills die because they haven't been passed yet, they go back to the drawing board. They'll get together and they'll commune with each other and they say, oh, what the heck happened here? We've got to do something to make sure it doesn't die next time. That's where the Democrats and Republicans differ. Thankfully, the Republicans are now starting to think about this and say, hey, we've got to start doing that. The big questions that we have on our minds right now is election integrity. And with some of these laws that have been passed that are completely against what the Constitution says, they're now laws. Republicans got to start thinking, okay, if they're laws, we need to start doing things like the Democrats are doing. Ballot harvesting. Get good at that. Absentee ballots. Get good at that. When you take power back, get rid of the laws. You can do it. That's how government laws work. And as we finish up what is going on, then maybe we can get some of our freedoms back that the Democrats have gotten rid of. And the other thing that they're doing now is that since Trump is going to be running for president again, they're working overtime to find things that they can go use against him, to indict him for things. The latest one is Trump family ran afoul of foreign gift law. That's what the Democrats say. Now, if this was really true, how come it didn't come up a long time ago? Because they felt it was something they could use against Trump when the time came, and they knew it would. But Donald Trump and his family, according to what's going on now, Democrats are saying Donald Trump and his family failed to disclose gifts worth a total of more than $250,000 given by foreign governments while he was in the White House. Democrats alleged Friday, including golden golf clubs from Japan and swords from the Saudi royalty. The items were among some 100 presents listed in preliminary findings from opposition Democratic lawmakers who sit on the Republican-led House Oversight Committee, saying many remained unaccounted for in government records. Trump's office didn't respond immediately to a request for comment. The oversight panel has lately set its sights on the Biden family, investigating whether it drew profits from foreign entities, which they have proved, and whether presidential scion Hunter Biden peddled access to his father to secure positions and financial gain overseas, which he did, and that's been proven. Jamie Reskin, the top Democrat on the panel, criticized the former president's administration's brazen disregard for the rule of law and its systematic mishandling of large gifts from foreign governments. Well, what about all of the systematic lawbreaking that the Bidens have done? And it's not just Joe Biden. It's now Haley. It's Jill. It's Joe. It's Hunter. Nothing's being said about this. Nothing's being pushed about this one. Oh, no, it just has to be against Trump. The Maryland congressman pointed to many lavish personalized gifts that were never reported, vowing to determine their current whereabouts and whether they may have been used to influence the president in his conduct of a foreign U.S. foreign policy. What about Biden? Jamie Raskin? What about Biden? I could give you a list much longer than you can find or even think you can find against Trump. Because everything you're talking about is stuff that you speculate may have happened. That's how Democrats work. Republicans who believe in the Constitution, believe in the law, believe in following the law, will look for things that have happened, then they'll prove that they've happened before they come out. Democrats, on the other hand, sit there and say, well, you've got a gun, and because you've got a gun, you could go out and shoot somebody. Therefore, you're a criminal. There is where our government and our nation is going wrong, folks. We need to stop this insanity. But this article goes on to say that they include 16 items from the Saudis and Emirates worth around $45,000, including a $24,000 dagger from the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and two sword sets. The list also features a larger-than-life painting of Trump from the president of El Salvador that committee investigators believe may have been moved to Florida, where Trump owns a beautiful beachfront mansion and three golf clubs. Now, we all know about this mansion because the FBI raided it. Japan's Shinzo Abe, who was assassinated last year, gave a 3,755 gold golf driver to Trump in November 2016, seeking to cultivate a special relationship with the newly minted president-elect, Democrats said. How many Democrats have done that kind of thing? Abe gave the then president more clubs during visits to the Trump International Club Golf Club in Florida and Kasumigaseki Country Club on the outskirts of Tokyo in 2017 and 2018. The Trumps also received 17 unreported gifts from China, from India, worth almost $50,000, the report says, including a $4,600 model of the Taj Mahal and $1,900 cufflinks. The discovery of these unreported foreign gifts raises significant questions about why former President Trump failed to disclose these gifts to the public as required by federal law, the House Democrats said in a statement. Now, if all this was actually as bad as the Democrats are trying to push, why didn't they do it when it happened? Why didn't they report this when it happened? The answer is simple, my friends. They didn't report it then because it would not have helped them then. They're doing it now because they feel that if they can indict the president, and I'm talking about Trump now, if they can indict him, they can keep him from running again. That's all this is. That's all this is. And the thing that we have to start realizing here, folks, is that the stuff that is going on here is insane. I didn't do my break at the beginning of this third hour, so I'm going to do it now, 15 minutes late, but I'm going to do it now. We'll be right back. I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Welcome to Hour 3 of NWCR Radio. Stay tuned for more great content. One of the things that I did when I was starting this show was I read my monologue about what happened on January 6th. And many of the things that I talked about in that was the misinformation from the left, while they continuously claimed that the misinformation was coming from the right. The left has been the left has handicapped the right in the aspect that they have the news media, the colleges, the educational process here in America. The liberal left, the presidency, and the Senate right now to push their ideals. The only thing that's stopping them is the House. And they are pissed off about this because they know that according to the Constitution, the House is the purse strings of the government. But they don't feel that should be that way. At least not now. And it shouldn't be that way right now because it goes against them, the way the Democrats work. Schumer was invited to be on the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show, but weaseled himself out of it with a slimy ultimatum. Tucker Carlson and Fox News are destroying the nation by showing raw footage of the Capitol incursion, according to the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. So Carlson invited Schumer to come on TV and talk about it. But Schumer said he will appear on Carlson's show only if Carlson takes back everything he has said. Schumer tweeted on Tuesday, "I was invited on Tucker Carlson's show. I will agree to go on after Tucker Carlson admits to his viewers live on air that he has been lying to them about the 2020 elections and about what happened on January 6th. Now, that is how Democrats work. Establishment Washington has been rocked after thousands of hours of January 6th video footage was released by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. On Monday, last Monday, Carlson began airing clips of the footage on Fox, the same clips the January 6th committee seemingly saw and hid from the public. The newly released video tells a different story than the oft-repeated legacy media descriptions of angry Trump supporters staging an insurrection of some kind. Rather than demonstrating outside the Capitol, curious protesters can be seen in the building, snapping pictures and taking self-guided tours with the cooperation of the Capitol Police. Now, it wasn't, Carlson acknowledged on his show that a few hooligans did engage in violent disruptions that day. By promoting a contrary narrative, Carlson is destroying the country, Schumer said in a Tuesday news conference. Late night Fox News with Speaker McCarthy as a willing, capable, and powerful accomplice aired one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen in the entire history of cable television, Schumer said. Tucker Carlson is a propagandist publicly pretending to be a newsman, he continued. They're liars. They're destroying America for some kind of monetary or other advantage. With that contempt, facts, and knowing full well that he was coming to America, Tucker Carlson ran a lengthy statement last night arguing the January 6th Capitol attack was not a violent insurrection in an attempt to rewrite history and erode the very foundations of our precious and sometimes fragile democracy. That was Schumer again. What I have to say to Schumer is this. You are supposedly a representative of the United States of America, and you don't know that America is not a democracy? You're a moron. You're part of our government, and you don't know that we are a constitutional republic? You're a moron. To erode and go away because the truth is being found out. Yet the Democrats, like Schumer, still pushing their narrative. Schumer made similar comments on the Senate floor Tuesday. The Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called Carlson's airing of the footage a mistake. However, others are supportive of Carlson's presentation of the video evidence and are critical of Schumer's refusal to appear on Fox. Liz said, as a U.S. senator, you called for a journalist to be censored because he exposed your lies about January 6th. It wasn't a deadly insurrection. Officer Sicknick wasn't murdered. Ray Epps lied under oath. No wonder 1% of Americans think January 6th was staged by feds. You should be ashamed. Said, you didn't want to talk about Ray or Brian Sicknick or Ashley Babbitt, QAnon Shaman, or the complicit Capitol Police, or the other officers, or the FBI informants? What a surprise. I figured you'd want to get into the specifics of exactly how. Exactly. It ended there. D.C. Drano says Schumer is big mad about Tucker showing video footage from January 6th that was being hidden by the Democrats. Translation, corrupt government angry that free press is exposing their lies. So it goes. Fox News and Tucker Carlson presenting an alternative to establishment narrative and being accused of destroying the same process. Mind old Fox News report. You decide. This is getting to be, folks, this is getting to be real fun. And until we start realizing what is going on here and start fighting back against this tyrannical government that we have, things are going to continue to get worse. Here in New Mexico, one of the things that I talked about last week was the fact that our evil governor, the Wicked Witch of the North, as Mike calls her, won re-election. Democrats won statewide. It's not like they were running in a vacuum. There was no opposition to them. There was opposition to them, and there was good opposition to them. The people just didn't vet the candidates. They didn't listen to, they didn't research. All they listened to was the fact that during the campaign, we'd have 20 or 30 ads talking about how Michelle Lujan Grisham has done so much good for this and how the Republicans have bucked her every step of the way. We'd have 20 or 30 of those kind of ads and attack ads against Ketty, who was the Republican running for governor, to one ad for Ron Ketty telling the truth. No wonder the people kept doing the things that they needed to do to keep the status quo. They didn't know any better because the media was complicit in the cover-up. This whole idea, folks, that the Republicans are the ones who are doing bad and the Democrats are doing good is so far from the realm of being right that it's insane. And the only thing that's helping the governor right now is the fact that New Mexico has a full coffer when it comes to the Treasury because of the federal government. We will be back after these messages for the final section of the show.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, but he has been around. though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
Section of the show. Louisiana man is to be chemically castrated at the juvenile rape convention. And this one's from Breitbart. It says a Louisiana man convicted of raping a juvenile under the age of 13 will be chemically castrated before he is released into the society. He should never be released into society. Ryan Clark, 34, of Kentwood, pleaded guilty to felony charges of sexual battery, molestation of a juvenile under 13, and second-degree rape on March 1st, according to Tangipahoa Parish District Attorney Scott Perrell. On July 16, 2020, the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office was notified of indecent behavior between Clark and a juvenile by a person the victim had confided in. The person also explained that this behavior had taken place for more than a year. The juvenile was then interviewed at the Children's Advocacy Center in Hammond and was able to detail the incident with possible second victim was discovered. Clark also has a prior conviction of misdemeanor carnal knowledge of a juvenile for receiving oral sex in a public place from a minor, Perrell added. He was sentenced to 128 days in the parish jail for that charge in 2015. Judge Brian Abels sentenced Clark to 35 years in prison, with the first 25 years to be served without the possibility of parole. Abels also that Clark must register as a sex offender for life, forfeit all parental rights, never contact his victims, and submit to chemical castration before release. Former Governor Bobby Jindal, Republican, authorized castration for certain offenders in 2008. Chemical castration involves the injection of a drug called medroxyl progesterone acetate, or MPA, a drug that suppresses a man's sex drive by reducing testosterone levels. The Department of Justice noted that after taking the castration drug, the offender is no longer motivated to commit sexual offenses, is more amenable to psychotherapy that can enable him to reintegrate into society. MPA treatment will minimize the offender's commitment as a sexual psychopath and allow him to continue his rehabilitation. Treatment with MPA could also be considered an acceptable condition for probation, according to DOJ's Office of Justice Programs. And that one I found on Breitbart. One of the things that we're talking about most of the time here, like our wide open border, the family Biden family investigation, the Ukraine war, and one of the articles that I found talked about what happened in 2021, February, migrant apprehensions up 32% from Biden's first full month in office. We have got to realize here, folks, that Biden is no friend to the United States. Schumer is no friend to the United States. Harris is no friend to the United States. Michelle Lujan Grisham is no friend to the United States. And until we start realizing that these people are there to hurt this country, then we will have to suffer the consequences of their actions. Something that they will never have to do. But I've been doing everything I can to figure out a way to get the correct news out to people. And if you people who will listen to the archives of this will do me a favor and start telling other people about this show. Because this news has to get out. This news has to be out there. It has to be allowed out there. Because the media isn't giving it out. The media isn't telling anybody about all of this. And won't either. They're in bed with the politicians in Washington, D.C. that are on the left. They're in bed with the politicians who were with the woke community, who is destroying our laws, our morals, our country. It will continue until we put a stop to it. And the only way we can put a stop to it, folks, is for people to be able to hear the correct news, the truth about what is happening in Washington, New Mexico, California, New York, Michigan. We have to do this. Because if we don't, we're going to lose this country. I'm going to go ahead and end the show now, and I will talk to you guys this next week. Monday through Thursday, I'll have my updates, which I do every day, Monday through Thursday. Post them to Rumble, BitChute, Brightian, and UGETube. So if you want to listen to those, that would be a great way to do it. I will be back here next Friday for my next NWCR radio show. Thank you all for coming in. Pianki was here. Bringing It Boy was here. I don't know who else was listening, but I know there's going to be some people there. We will be back next week. So God bless you. God bless our troops. God bless this country. And have a great weekend. I'll see you all next week. Back next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio, where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. God bless you all.